position number 22345, reel 16.
Major Perkin, reel 16. I was asking you which elements of the anti-riot drills needed to be rewritten.
What I meant by saying there, as I talked about anti-riot drill in the regiment.
Yes.
The army rules all the way down.
Yes.
But each regiment had readout it so they could understand it and had their own orders. And that's what I was saying. I don't want to do like the army.
Right.
Basically, quite a lot of it, but I meant it to the aspects of. First of all, you had to be ready to have troubles. So every company had to have a banners already in case of news. You had about 6 or 8 foot long, right, on the pole at each end. And on that reason, disperse or be over fire in Urdu. It's about too bad to do me somewhere else. And you always have to have a magistrate with you, Indian magistrate. And if the crowd collected, you put it up. If it's in the skirts, you said, I go turn out to a magistrate and give me instructions to fire. We had to give instructions. We have already typed out all the time.
Sign it, yeah.
Then I also had to pick, assuming I'm a company commander, I picked up that man, one man, right, the green turban or whatever, his identity, and turned out a man with his. So the three men shoot that man, shoot to kill, just over the head, after his court possible fence, shoot over the head to fight him. Rather kill or twin. It didn't shoot. And then ran out that was killed. If they'd still done the skirts, dispersed, then you'd say, stick on three men. And it goes then. And so go, and then it says, then so you went to war. But I know it is. And this is a drill I rewrote. So the drill they're all ready for in the battalion.
Well, was there any trouble in Peshawar or the area around?
Not by us there, no. I knew it well. One day I was doing my drill, I made a strand model of the Peshawar city out of sand, big on all the streets, and this carpet. I was training my NCOs on what to do. And so that's when I had the big idea. I decided to make a round of battalion that night. He saw me doing this after the drill. He was very impressed.
What did your native officers, your VCOs, think of the troubles and the prospects of partition? Did they express any opinions on these matters?
No. When they got more imminent, whether it's next month, a very short notice, they thought it was quite wrong that this would be said to take over such sort of notice. I think we should have given at least 5 years notice, build a seven colonel. 2 days later, the battalion was supposed to quite quick with them.
What was going to happen to your battalion? Was it going to be divided up according to religious affiliation or?
Well, I tell you, the night partition, when the partition was the scares, I was up in Quetta at the Salisbury. I was officer. No, I don't know. I was just the battalion was up there, and that night of partition, night of 27th August, the big part of the big Gymkhana Club was taken over by the Indian, the Pakistanis. Punjabi officers to have the celebration and partition at midnight. And I knew an Indian doctor very well and his wife. And they asked my wife, to come with me, and us with them to this partition thing. And for the new, we were in the peaceful prison. Otherwise, the pact was Pakistan would be opposite. As the time came, on the stage, there was a Union Jack, right to across. The senior officers got up, gave a speech. And a very complimentary speech was true about the British Army, how much they owed to the Indian Army and the British to risk and divert him. As close at midnight, the British flag was spotted, and behind them was the Indian child Pakistani there. And the mad rush, and suddenly all these other two the pieces as human editors. And then that was still there.
The unifying influence.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, that turned up. Mm. And next day, I was second commander of the battalion. Next day, we got the order to go to the Punjab boundary force, which was the dividing line of the New India and New Pakistan.
Yes.
You knew they were going to be troubled. Mm. And our battalion, was going to a place called Gurdaspur. The colonel, the brigadier, he was a Hindu. I can't remember his name, it doesn't matter. He decided not to be in charge of the brigade. He could smell trouble. He might have to make decisions, the political decision in this trouble. He upped it up. And so our colonel became the brigadier. That made me the colonel. I became too. I was 26, 27 at the time, and off I went by the battalion to Gurdaspur. There, all the troubles and the massacres went through everywhere, roads, railroads, by the hundreds of bodies chopped up. Those bodies be chopped up after they're killed, cut up. I mean, when I was going down to the Ravi River, which is a barrier, I see a whole lot of bodies there, all cut to pieces. On our side, I was in India, and passes on the other side of the Ravi. On the Indian side, over the years, the villages got all mixed up. Sikhs, Turks, Hindus, Muslims, they're all next to each other. They live really peacefully under Pax Britannica. The odd economy riots there now and then. But on the whole, they're peacefully. But a partition, the Muslim wanted to get out of India and go to Pakistan. Another side, Sikh builders want to get out of Pakistan the Punjab and go into India. And they started massacring
each other.
Each other. One told about the retaliation. And it's terrible.
Was there anything you could do to try and calm it down and stop the massacres?
Nothing you could do. What my main job, I don't know, was to get many Pakistanis together in the Indian side, get them together and draw them. And lost about thousands. 5,000 to 6,000. Then I got up and marched across the round the road, over the Ravi River, into the Pakistan, and that's him. But guarding them on the way, terrible, because these villagers are all ages, old, ill, young baby. Their march was about the extent of a mile or two. And the Sikhs used to rush in and kill them. Women drilled out the shoulder out of the air. You can see the mess going on. The same thing is going on the other side, to the Sikhs. There's a lot of looting. But one thing, I was never at one minute was I afraid of any. I'm absolutely safe. Because by Indian officer, I was only a business officer, all the officers, resident, more Hindus, Sikhs or Jews by now, or Muslims. So I had them. They wouldn't move out of there at all without exorcists. I used to go unarmed with the privates, and I got away with him. I never touched him, and I never any danger whatsoever.
What had happened to the other British officers? Are they all gone?
They were gone, yes.
So they'd all been replaced by Indians. Was your regiment then due to become part of the Indian Army?
Yes, when the time came, we were told to march out, and most of my men crossed the border with into Pakistan, and the head of six and Hindu side of the battalion for the governor.
How long did that go on, that process of watching the front? How long did that process of watching the frontier go on during the exchange of
population? About 6 weeks, I suppose.
About 6 weeks?
I thought so. I came on there. I gave you two ideas. One day I was going to a village, and there was a sheep there. I saw them doing something in the house, roosting or something. So I got out of our dudes. This was my five, something else, army there. I went inside, there were five or six sheets, or all the huge coupons.
Yes.
I went there, I hit them with the handle of my spies, but they're just kissing on the shins of my army boots. They fled.
Just ran away.
Never occurred to me to touch me. I could have cut the other piece of it, no time at all. On another occasion, I go to another visit, I saw the looting going on. No, weren't Sikhs, so Hindus of sorts. And they were looting. I went and said, I can't get in my house deep there, get in there and fall them. They go, okay, well, quite happy. Well, they're happy, they got the money. I drove them back. I had about 5,000 or 6,000 residues ready to take away in the safe area. So I drove up there and I said, asked anyone there, has anyone to that village? Two men put there, and that's right. I then had these four men tied to palm trees, hands up there, and I cut through bamboo rods, and I threw these two brothers to beat these men. I gave them 15 strokes each, and I also threw these two men that they must not hit the men above the waist. I said, you'll be, and that was all the reason to go at the school and the bathtub. When it's over, all these villagers, all these messages were watching, they want their words, south in South End, this what men's river. I got these men into my jeep again, and I took it out of anywhere but about 3 miles away at the doctor home. I said, Tracy. And all the way, we chatted about it quite happily. They had ill feeling towards you at all. And we had been to the doctor, all the very central, sensitive, my doctor, Saturday.
Did you get any reaction from the local authorities as a result of this incident of beating these men?
I was there.
You were the local authority.
I was a law idiot. No one else. The madness is gone. Everything's gone. Next door, my town, another town called Batiala.
Yes.
And after the 24th Division in the run, and it was commanded by an English officer who, I told you before, hurt his back during the terrorist attack, same one. He got exacerbated with his medicine. He had him put in jail.
He jailed the magistrate.
He made the magistrate. Non-conversion. Unfortunately for him, Nero decided he'd come and visit the Pontifex, his boundary of the new country, and he went to Batiala. There, of course, he wanted to speak to his local authority.
He wasn't there.
And he imprisoned him there, made a brutal stop, and he wanted to have this officer arrested. The officer got his jeep and drove the hell into Pakistan, out of the way, where he was then thrown out of England quickly before he was beheaded. While this is going on there, in my residence, there were Sikhs, Muslims, and their relatives were killing each other. Also, very difficult to keep the racial children except for it did. I said, no trouble whatsoever within the room. When I sent people out on patrol, I made sure there's always a mixed group from each chest of men, so they keep an eye on each other. And everyone among them was happy.
And they behaved?
Yes, they all behaved. And I had no trouble at all there. I got a very well resources before any observation I have a miserable. So I was going to do. And that's the law now. And so anyway, went wrong. One day I heard a lot of trouble going from a certain village. And I went to Windsor. I went there with a dry driver and a trailer. I sat in the my jeep, and I went to the village, called the elders together in the middle, and I told them I want to all the men here to bring all the vessels and put them in my trailer. I'm going to take them in. I said to them, no, it was a bit grumpy, not that. They came forth their arms, all sorts of knives before. Also, to put the water back to my jeep, but I didn't. I haven't got it. Weapons with me. I thought, this might try this. But they're so used to for taking orders from the English medicines over the years. I've just run an incident. I took it off all the dirt away and threw it all in his will.
Did that put a stop to the trouble in that village?
I doubt it.
Weapons.
I doubt it. Another village, I suspected there was trouble. So I devised the operation. I told no one. I told a single person where he was. Which village? I just got to the telling. We marched out in the night. I was easy. I was doing. Didn't tell any officers, because he posted on the internet to their cousins.
Yes.
And he found, when he got there, found it a bit, and then where I got there. And I decided the brutal, because in on the village. But I didn't find anything wrong with them, yeah. But it worked very well. But that's the way it was. They were trouble, not in resident, they wasn't bad about it. When I closed in, I told crops, maize, about 6 or 7 high, you know? And I was going to get into the village, and so there's a busing. I was in front. Who's trying to, there's a man, obviously, been to the loo. And he looked down, put my gum out, pointed at him. I didn't hear, I was tossed in. I went through the motion, and then my master was top of my uncle.
What happened to this man? Did you take hold of him, or?
All that matters a bit. I had all together a bit, and I couldn't put on anything. I just told myself that there ought to be two any more rooting, but I couldn't do anything, just talk to them.
Do you think they took any notice?
I doubt it. I doubt it. But I think of the regiment, they put together, they must have done terrible terms on the regiment, all these people killing each other, old families and things. But they never had to give any sort at all.
How large an area were you supposed to be trying to police?
I would say, because asked for, we are based on the River Rawley.
Yes.
So you talk about 15 mile east side is my fifth over.
That's a very substantial area to
cover.
Quite
a big area. I had about 500 men.
And how long a stretch of the river were you supposed to be?
Well, between me and we could about the other side, next one. I'd say about 50 miles to see.
That's a long, it's an awful large area.
The main big ridge was rather there. Well, the times came when we were told to split up. And I marched with horses, with my pizzabies, across the bridge, and the sixth and drovers always gave us a good send off after we got the band out the shoulders. And that's the end of the sixth and part of Grundahl Bridge. I went down from there, we went back to Quetta, where they reformed into a partisan battalion.
And what happened to you? Did you stay with that new battalion?
Not very, because that's 27, we talk about 20, coming to the end of October now. And everyone get out in the. I've been given the chance of either became staying in the British Army into the RVOC or RAC. I've always been an interested man. I wasn't prepared to go my socks organized and so on. So I said, no, I don't. I'm going to get out. So I then went, I left the bed and I went to Lahore. I can't think why. I said, the rest of the British war in Lahore. Yeah. And so the front door, one night, my wife and I passed all, I got through two tops and got four hour position, two lorries, and drove across out of Pakistan now into India. Because no railways I went to. And we caught the train and went down to Bombay. And I left India.
What were you planning to do when you left India?
I had nothing. I just wanted to propagate a boat because all the rest of them put up my army, saying people had to be demobbed. And I went to shipping agent and said, give me on the boat going west, anywhere west. After about 2 weeks, that Christmas, 1947, just after. And he said, well, you got an old pilgrim boat going Bombay, and it's going to Bower, a place called Horsley East Adwood, which was Adelou. So he got there. He sailed across to Bower, and possibly East Africa. And there I got into a train, went up to Salisbury, now called Sir Raleigh.
Yes.
But from now on, this is my sole living in life. I don't think that's interesting. But to me, it's my most interesting job I have in my life, this is officer.
What, why was it that you decided to give up being a district officer then? What, you're on the you're a district officer and then secretariat in Lusaka. And
yes.
Just wondering why it was, as it was such an interesting job, you decided to go back in the army.
I wasn't really getting on my wife.
Oh.
And I had some army friends there in Lusaka. Two of them had been to Sanders with him. No, three of them. And a neighbour of them. Not very serious in retrospect, but I'm talking about at the time. And our naval officer, and we found both friends. Two of them married, had children, and the third one was getting married. Is it working?
Mm-hmm.
It's light enough. Yes. I'm very young, very well. And my wife, other sounds, I don't know what happened to her. She started me accusing me of having a service. I never had anyone in my life except my wife. Never. She was having one. And trying to test me. Then she told me to get rid of my friend. I said, no, I'm with this. He said, you're a coward. Well, about the day after he said, you're a coward, I got a message, a letter from the War Boys in England. They were increasing the strength of the lay resident from there. And as we're going to touch us all, in the army officers, so they might piss in. So I could be this. So I left the family, went back to England, and rejoined the army. And joined the Gloucester Regiment.
You joined the Gloucester Regiment?
Well, no, not. I rejoined to go to Malaya.
Yes.
But I've been out of the army for 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
They said, you must go back and then they to pick up where you left off. And I was sent to Gloucester, who'd just come back from there.
And where was I at that time?
In Warminster.
So you came back to England?
Yes.
Yes.
At the cost. Mm. When I came back, I had to pay my own parents, my daughter back. I had to Northern Rhodesia govern. For some reason, I can't remember why, that's right, you have to give a 3 months notice, you'd be fined you £500. Well, £500 quite a lot of money in 1950. So, it's not all that, I said, I'm out. So I came back in